Welcome to show number 122 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. I don't got a whole lot of intro news or anything to break it down for you here right in the beginning. We're going to jump on the line right now with my brother Ryan, who's joining us from the Orleans Casino, although maybe his location has changed. Maybe he's in a secret location. Ryan, how you doing from Las Vegas?
Not a whole lot. A very exciting day at the industry summit.
Very exciting day. What? Let's start off maybe just with the beginning of the day. I think you are excited about Brian Gray from Leaf Trading Cards. He always seems to have interesting things to say. Never leaves, never holds back, at least in the times I've seen him. So maybe talk to us a little bit about what Brian Gray had to say.
Brian Gray, as always, had a lot to say. And very candid, very honest. And honestly, he would have answered like any question you asked him. And he even said, well, if people ask me the right question, this is going to get really exciting in here. Some things of that nature. He said a lot of things. I mean, just some kind of bullet point quotes were that you don't need a license to create cards. I can create an Albert Pujols card with him swinging a bat if I want to. And, you know, that he wants to kind of be this unlike, you know, be able to never have a license and be able to create cards. That's what he wants to be, his legacy. Very proud of him. He said the sales tripled at Leaf. That was like the very first thing he said, which didn't get a lot of attention. But the sales at Leaf tripled in 2012. So who knows if he's telling the truth, and when sales are just sales, we don't know how much he made or if he made anything on the sales. But I thought that was a very interesting point. Had just a ton of different things to say. He would, you know, knock, you know, his competitors or other manufacturers at every opportunity he had. I thought some of the things he said about Richard McWilliam were interesting. That, you know, Richard McWilliam wasn't a bad guy, but that he made bad choices.
He's the former, for those of you that might not know who that was, he's the former CEO, like founder of Upper Deck, and he passed away, I think, a few months ago. Go ahead.
Right. Of alcohol poisoning. So, and the guy, you know, McWilliam had a lot of kind of health problems, kind of dealing with his addictions, one of which was to alcohol and painkillers, I believe, so. You know, just some interesting things about that. But it was a good talk. He's always very honest. He previewed some of the products that they have coming out. But it was more just Brian Gray with a microphone talking in front of 300 people. So he gets excited about that. He's actually entertaining to listen to. He's an effective public speaker. And as far as what he said, I mean, you could go back through the Twitter, through my Twitter. I know Yanks Chick from Beckett was there tweeting as well. And she's like kind of a professional, or was a trained newspaper journalist. So she has insight into what was said. And that feels like a long time ago. Literally, the Brian Gray talk feels like
yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe starting at the beginning of the day, let's just go what's more fresh on your mind. What's fresh in your mind? What just happened at the summit? What do you think maybe was the highlight in your mind? What sticks out for you today?
I think by far one of the highlights of the day was tucked in a little corner room up in the many, many conference rooms they have up in the in New Orleans. They had a group-breaking seminar. And I want to make a distinction. When I say group-breaking, I'm talking about guys who sell spots online, like teams, random spots. Not guys who buy cases and then they open the cards themselves and sell them on eBay. To me, I refer to those people as rip and flippers. I'm gonna be saying breakers and group breakers over the next like 10 minutes here, but I just want to make that distinction that when I say group breakers, I'm meaning just the people that sell spots to teams, and you know, random spots and all this stuff. Rip and flippers are separate, and those type of people were not there. There were not very many rip. I don't think there was a rip and flipper in the room. These were at least 10 to 15 box breakers that either have a web, that have a website or a dedicated blog TV or something, where they're selling spots to collectors, team style, random style, however it is, into group break. I think most people listening to this show are familiar, probably familiar with online
certainly,
group breaking.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what. A lot of these, there's definitely some friendships within the group breaking community, the people who actually own the sites and actually do the breaking and profit from the you know, the business and stuff. But there are several that don't like each other, and that was very evident today. Very evident today that there is a lot of competition, that there's a lot of animosity, and I found that extremely fascinating. And at the same time, most of the, or every single group breaker acknowledged that there should be some kind of service or some kind of dedicated website that was like an association, group break association website that set standards for shipping time, for how you break products, things of that nature, that almost like verify that these are verified good box breakers. Here they are. They all agreed that that needed. They all agreed that there also needed to be a blacklist for bad customers who would like buy a spot and a break. They would receive the cards, but then they would do like a chargeback on a credit card or PayPal.
Right, right.
And really just cheat the system. And these people are scammers. People who do that are scammers. And they just run through all of them. You know, they start with one breaker. They'll roll him, and then they'll roll the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Whereas these guys, like I said, they don't like each other by and large. Some of them do, and I'm not going to name names. I didn't name names on Twitter today. I'm not going to name names right now. So don't expect me to call out anybody. Anyways, what was I saying? They don't like each other, so they're not gonna. There's never gonna be this shared list. Well, so and so's email. Here's so and so's email. Here's so and so's IP address. This guy's an effing scammer. He charged back $200 worth of stuff. They're never gonna get together and do that. So there needs to be some sort of third party. Now I raised the point. The only time I talked during the presentation, I raised the point that what's the incentive for the person who has the association, who says so-and-so runs the association? Sounds like a lot of time. Sounds like you're dealing with all these people who don't like each other and who are very competitive, hyper-competitive, some of these group breakers. And these are the people you're going to be dealing with. And that you're basically a gatekeeper in this association. And the boundary to become a group breaker is none. You can, it's very easy to get into. Now, to be successful, it's much more difficult. It's like any other business. It's extremely difficult to kind of really become successful and build a customer base. That's going to take time, a lot of time. But just to start a break, we could do one right now. We could sell spots right now. I could
right.
be soliciting spots right now on this podcast. I could tweet that I have a break and I need $20 a spot or whatever. We could do that right now. Anybody could.
Right. Well, I guess Panini was didn't Panini make reference to some about how they might have an authorized breaker, or they thought about that internally? What did they say about that?
Yeah. This was very interesting. So I'm in the room and the thing had already discussed, and then all of a sudden, literally, and at the time an Upper Deck Diamond Dealer meeting was also going on at the same time, so all of a sudden the door opens up, and about six guys from Panini, basically the who's who at Panini walks in, literally the who's who. Tracy Hackler, the customer service manager, some other big shots, but the big shot of them all, the CEO of the company, walked into this group-breaking seminar and said, my eyes got wide when I saw him. And I was like, oh, wow. He wouldn't just show up to this if group-breaking didn't mean anything. All, like, six employees showed up because it's with the CEO of the company in the room. So about 10, 15 minutes goes by, and all of a sudden, the CEO of Panini gets up and says, I just want to provide some color before I head out of the room that we, Panini, have internally discussed authorizing or having an authorized list of people who, you know, can break our product. And they'll make that determination, you know, who's authorized to break a Panini product. Anybody could probably still break it, how they enforce it, but they are probably discussing, as we kind of sit here, the idea of naming specific box breakers that they kind of authorize, you know, and basically promote.
Interesting.
And drive business to. Which would be very interesting. And literally he left the room after that. Didn't take questions on that or didn't, you know, expand further. But that's fascinating. And to me, that's the only true way if you're going to have some kind of trade association and box-breaking standards. It's got to come from the manufacturer. Because if, let's say I started a website, where I was like, okay, I'm going to be the group-breaking authority, and I'll verify all these people, and blah, 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 I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to have biases. I'm going to have biases to certain people in the industry. I'm going to maybe not like certain guys. And it's never going to work out. And how you make money on something like that, I mean, you know, have fun. It sounds like a lot of work, honestly. A lot of work that you're talking to these guys who have enormous egos, by and large, and you know, have fun. Like I said, have fun dealing with those guys in that room and everybody else who comes in afterward. I mean, one of the guys basically was like, I've been doing this for 5 years. Everybody comes in and undercuts me. I'm the top dog, this, this, and this. And I just sat back there like, and honestly, I barely ever heard of the guy. So, you know, group breaking is a niche. I wanted to, you know, it's a niche thing, and these guys, I think, for whatever reason, think they're like at the top of the mountain. It's a little interesting, to be honest. Because it's just a niche part of the industry right now, and it will forever be that. People are still going to buy packs and singles and so forth, more than buying into some spot on a, you know, Panini titanium case break.
Right, yeah,
people,
I mean,
would rather buy the cards themselves and open them themselves, by and large.
Yeah, I think there's room for both.
Yeah, there's room for both, but what I'm saying is that I think some of these people feel like they're more important in this industry than they really are.
Well, that might be understandable. They were up on maybe the stage. They might have, that was their 15 minutes of fame, so to speak, I guess, maybe at the conference. So I can understand that when you run a business, sometimes you give yourself titles like CEO or president or founder and stuff like that, when it's really just, like you said, kind of a small thing. And like you, I don't know, I'm sure it's already, no, and one breaker was already saying people are undercutting them on prices. As time goes along, the margins will get smaller and smaller and smaller. It doesn't matter even if you have a whole lot of competition. That's just what happens typically with prices. So, 'cause consumers get educated. They get educated that they might not be getting that great of a deal buying into breaks. Maybe it's they're overpaying for the opportunity for that spot. So, that's interesting. You got any other things from the box breakers thing, or do you want to move on?
I just thought it was funny that they all could agree that they needed some sort of standards in place. but you could tell that neither of them, I mean, you know, all of them collectively as a group would not be able to, you know, be able to decide how that would happen.
I see.
That's why I think it would be great if Panini and Topps or Upper Deck was like, hey, here are the guys that we trust, because then it's in their hands. And not some third party with interest who's going to have to make money on some kind of site. If you start a site that, oh, I'm going to be a foundation, I'm going to start this box-breaking association website, you're going to have to make money on that site. And I made a point to that. And everybody in the room just kind of glossed over that was not a big, that's not a big deal. Somebody would do it for free or whatever. Somebody would create a website like that for free. Have fun with that and see how long that lasts. Like, you know, if this is supposed to be a forever business, you know, that this is going to be in the next 25 years, they're still going to be breaking cards like that. Show me a guy who's going to set up a website and maintain it for 25 years for free. So the best way to do it is what the CEO of Panini has thought about is authorizing breakers. So I hope they go that way. And Panini, they like to do their own thing. They like to control when information of their product comes out, and images and all that stuff, and I think that's awesome. I think that's smart. So I could very well see them being like, well, we want to be able to control who we say are the most honest and reputable group breakers.
Very interesting. Well, after that was essentially, I guess you guys rolled into other kind of like presentations. Which ones did you attend after that?
My mind is spinning because I had to sit 4 hours waiting for the Tops thing to get good. Let me look at it. Do you think I could remember what happened today? That was the last thing that I attended. Actually, the box break thing, that was the last thing I attended. There were some corporate things that I couldn't get into. Legal issues seminar, I guess. No, I couldn't get into that. Industry Summit survey results revealed. That was only for, like, corporate people, like employees of Tops or employees of Panini or somebody like that, not for retailers and stuff or media people. So that was the box break thing. That was it for me. And then I jumped literally right into the Tops Retailing for Success seminar, which I should have just walked in at about 5:50. My God. Like, they literally just paraded. First of all, I should have, you know, maybe known this, that this is what they were going to do. They weren't even going to talk about any Tops products. They weren't going to talk about any of the Tops services. They just paraded up card shop owners talking about certain promotions that work in their store. So, look, one guy had a reloadable gift card. And I think he talked like 15 minutes about it. One guy plays like fantasy sports in his store. One guy talked about buying cards on Check Out My Cards. And this went on and 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 on. So, finally, Alan Nars, who's kind of a high-strung guy, I don't know. At the very end, I was like almost half asleep. The lights had went out at one point. It was like pitch black in there at one point. I almost fell asleep. But anyways, I'm kind of sitting back there thinking nothing's going to happen. Then all of a sudden he says, I'm very aware that Tops has had a lot of customer service issues lately. And boom, I stuck in the spring of life. And he talked about some of those issues. And it's not just customer service issues, it's dealing with dealers. Huge problem.
Sure. For sure.
Massive problem.
For sure.
If you can't even deal with your dealer, these guys, these HTA stores who spend $25,000 annually just on Topps products, I mean, if you can't deal with them, you're definitely not dealing with customers. And there was no hiding that fact that they're having some problems, having some issues, changing up some things technically on their website, changing up things probably internally with the employee structure, but they didn't really directly go into that. Um, It was very, very interesting. So, and he kept saying, Alan Nars was taking questions, and he was like, I'm only taking technical questions. I'm not going to deal with any specifics to your issues. I just want to, he kept saying that. I'm only going to take technical questions. So people were kind of asking about the specifications. They have some kind of new HDA Direct program where instead of becoming an HDA store, you could become HDA, they actually call it indirect, through your wholesale distributor. If you buy a certain amount of product, you register with a wholesaler like GTS, they authorize you, they check with Tops, and then boom, you can start getting the same type of deal that an HTA, Home Team Advantage store, could get. Mm-hmm. You would be able to get that through your distributor. And they're going to be adding 25 of those per distributor. And I think he said there were 10 distributors, so that'd be another 250 stores that will have that opportunity. Now, here's the interesting thing he said, is that the customer service issues, like if you have customer service issues or if you, the dealer, have some dealer issues, that you would actually go through your distributor and not contact Tops. And Alan Nars is like, that's never been done before in this industry. Well, yeah, no kidding. Because you're making your, you know, yeah, no kidding. These distributors are just held by the balls by Tops, because what, are they going to not sell Tops products? I mean, that would be just a joke. I mean,
well, they might, after they get all these emails about missing hits and damaged cards, they might say, hey, this isn't worth it.
I mean, Tops has what, baseball? No wonder they announced this thing the same day they got baseball till 2020 on an exclusive. So here's the thing. It's like, you know, they're basically making the distributors do some of this dealer, you know, customer service. They're making, you know, the wholesalers, distributors doing them for free, Tops is. So, you know, you can look at that as an interesting agreement. Anyways, so all of a sudden, though, all the big shops at Tops get up there, and they're going to take about 5 or 6 questions. And then it got really exciting, because they only wanted to take 5 or 6 questions, but I saw like 20 hands in the air of people who wanted to ask stuff. One guy accusing them of collusion and said, what you're doing is breaking the law, in terms of something, how he couldn't get product through the... He was an HTA dealer, but he couldn't get product through the HTA website, which is called Tops Pro, and then he had to go through a distributor, which charged him more, and all this kind of stuff, and this guy just was heated, and Tops kind of just danced around that and delicate, you know, treaded lightly on that. Another lady was very angry that if in Beckett magazine, the actual physical magazine, Tops, well, Tops actually claimed they didn't put the ad, but Tops had advertisements for retail Tops Series 1 baseball 2013. Say, go to Walmart and buy these hanger boxes and da-da-da-da-da. No mention of buying a hobby box of 2013 Series 1. So the dealer was mad at that. And the guy from Tops said, well, our third-party advertisers sometimes place ads for us that we don't control. So I'm going to let that sit there for a second. Tops said that our third-party advertisers sometimes create ads for us that we don't control. So, okay, you know, I guess if I'm advertising for my company, I'm going to edit and look over anything that goes out. So I don't really understand that.
Tops just seems like they want everybody else to do work for them. Like, they paraded, sounds like, card shop owners to do a lot of the presentation for them today. They're having distributors answer now, like, questions from dealers and stuff. It just seems like they don't want to do any work. Is that the sense that you get, or is that just me being on the outside?
I get the sense that they're very short-staffed, and we both know, you probably know better than I do, what private equity does when they buy a company. They're not going to hire a customer service staff of 2,000 to deal with all these products. Tops sells a cheap product that is available readily online in a Target store. It's cheap. It's a cheap product. A lot of people consume it. So there's going to be a lot of customer service issues. There's a lot of mystery surrounding some of these cards. There's tons of product coming out all the time. I mean, they have a new set coming out constantly. So there's constantly going to be questions. There's constantly going to be customer service issues. And they would need a huge staff to be able to deal with that effectively, although Panini seems like they're able to do it with like one or two people.
Because I think they work. I think it's because that's because they... I don't know if this is my own ignorance, but I get the impression that they're not putting in an eight-hour day, and if they are, half of it's on Twitter, half of it's on, something else. I mean, I just don't understand, like, how... Like you said, I know that Leaf probably has customer service issues. I think they're, like, a two-man organization. Panini has customer service issues. I don't think they run more than 10 or 12 deep, probably. So, I mean, I just don't understand.
I think the expectation level at Tops is very low as a work environment, that your work ethic and what you have to get done is the expectation is set very low, whereas at Panini, you can tell it's set very high. All these customers need to be taken care of. We can't have a backlog of emails. I mean, I remember when Panini came out with a big one-page thing saying how we apologize for our customer service, we're going to change it, we're going to change employees, we're going to this, and this. And you know what? They delivered exactly what they said. Granted, there's going to be isolated incidents where people are unhappy or something didn't work out. Sure. But by and large, there's not a whole bunch of people clamoring about Panini customer service issues. And I want to make this point very clear, because I know you're not going to toot your own horn. But back in, I want to say it was October or November, you were calling out Tops when nobody was fucking ripping that company. Nobody. You were fucking calling them out, and fucking people in this industry were giving you shit about it. And that's bullshit. Because you were right. The customer service fucking sucks there.
Well, I think, I can't take credit for that. I was just reading so much stuff on Facebook. I was reading it basically all over, and I was like, I can't believe people aren't talking about this more. I was like, I'm seeing people getting ripped off all over the place. We were getting emails, and I was like, I can't believe – and then by and large, don't follow Twitter that much. I've been a lot more following it this week, but by and large, I don't follow it. But I started following it for a couple days, seeing if anybody was saying anything negative about Tops, and I didn't see anything negative. I saw everybody trying to win contests and stuff like that, and I was like, they're not even giving those cards away. That's another scam that they're doing. Probably 90% of those giveaways don't ever get sent out or don't ever get to the people. They're given away to fake accounts or people that they know that aren't going to request the cards. So it's just, I mean, if they can't send out a redemption that's paid for in a paid product, they're not going to send out something that's free. So I don't know. I can't take credit for blowing the lid on them several months ago. I do remember there were several people that were giving me, like, I felt like, oh my God, I'm speaking my opinion, First Amendment right or whatever amendment it is. And people, it was almost like I was, talking about religion or something more sensitive. So I saw it many months ago. When you have bad customer service, that's a key. You don't have to research companies that long to know when you have bad customer service, that means the top management is not good. That means they're not doing their job. That means they're not working. And so I knew the dominoes would start falling. And in my opinion, not to get too far off track here, in my opinion, I think it's going to get worse at Tops before it gets better, because I've seen these things happen in tons of different businesses, very similar business models. They get worse before they get better, and eventually you turn it around. Hopefully, either you go bankrupt or you turn around or you sell, the company gets sold. One of those things happen. We'll see what path it takes. But I think you got some more stuff from the Tops, maybe even a little encounter afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of digesting everything that happened. Even before, even during the question and answer session, it was hard to hear in there. It was a huge room, so it got kind of loud at the end, and there were a lot of people in the room, and so somebody was kind of asking a question. It was really soft. I was really trying to hear and digest everything, and then at the same time, I was like tweeting, trying to put it on Twitter instantly. I mean, the Twitter thing is like blown up, and like I can't even respond to questions on there or people ask me things because it's just, you know, too many things coming in at one time and trying to do too many things. So I'm trying to slow down a little bit. Anyways, so after the kind of the 6 question and answer session that literally could still be going right now. Question and answer session could still be going right now. And it's not, but I don't know, one of the top employees, the person who controls the Twitter account, did approach me. And I guess I will probably keep what we talked about private for the most part.
Well, maybe explain, did you...
You're not going to say? But I will probably keep it private. I think there were moments there, I will say that there were moments where it could have gone either way. Where he was kind of approaching me with an olive branch, saying, hey, I want to talk to you. Why don't you want to have a discussion with me? And I think on our last podcast we talked about that. I didn't want to have a conversation, private one-on-one conversation.
Right.
And I explained why. And I told him that. What I told you yesterday, why I don't want to have a private conversation, I told him the exact same thing. Like, I just told him the truth. This is why I don't want to have a one-on-one conversation with you. This is why I do things on Twitter, or social media, or whatever, on a website, I'll write an article. Because I don't want to have a one-on-one conversation.
And I think it's more effective. I think, you know, like you said, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, people were, you know, jerking tops like it was Brad Pitt or something. And the reaction today when they got their exclusive license was pretty negative. I saw some Facebook comments and all kinds of stuff. So I think, you know, I guess you can't really blow up your interview that, or like blow up your little one-on-one time there with Tops that much. But I guess maybe filler. Did you leave on good terms? Did you leave, you know, wanting to punch the guy? Did you leave, you know, wanting to buy him a beer?
No, I don't want to buy him a beer, but we did, you know, kind of mutually respect each other's position. I know that. He cares about Tops, and I think, but I'll put it to you like this, I'll wait to, I'll be an interested spectator for the next several months to see if there's some sort of plan of action to tackle some of these customer service issues, to tackle some of these communication issues with dealers, with people in the media, with collectors. I'll be an interested spectator to see if there is a plan in place and if it does get better. And if it does get better, I'll be the first guy to say, hey, this person should get credit, or Tops did a really good job. Look, they turned things around. Sure, nothing's ever going to be perfect. Never at Tops is it going to be perfect. Never at Panini is going to be perfect. Never at anywhere it's going to be perfect. But hey, look, they've really made an effort here to deal with these redemptions, to deal with the fact that it's hard to get somebody on the phone or get a response to an email, or damaged cards, or a product like Five Star that had shipping issues like nuts, like every card was just like mangled. You know, those type of things, that there's a plan in place to deal with these things. So over the next several months, probably until the National, I'm just going to be an interested spectator, and maybe even, it sounds like, I do have an open door to communicate with people over there at Tops. So that may or may not happen. If it does, hopefully it's productive. Hopefully I can share some things from just maybe a collector perspective, and me being maybe a former dealer perspective. So I'm just going to monitor it. I'm going to not tweet. I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to go to minor league baseball games for the next 4 or 5 months.
Nice.
Until the national. And then at the national, I'll see kind of where it's at, and okay. I'll report back at that point. but until that time, like, you know, I'm ready to get home and watch minor league baseball. Well, so to be perfectly honest.
Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, there are plenty of things to do out here in California. That's one of the best things about living here. Maybe we'll wrap it up here. What do you got? We're at the 40-minute mark. What do you got planned for the rest of the night? Anything exciting? Are you going to bed early? What's the deal?
No, I'm not going to bed. I'm definitely need to go get some pasta down at the Palms, a little restaurant down here. It was really good last night.
What's it called?
It was so good. I don't know, it was some restaurant in the Palms. I have no idea. I don't know, it was really good pasta, so I'm going to go down there and eat again. And then I really want to talk to some more group breakers about the meeting and everything. So I want to talk to some people that were in the tops room, what they thought. It's very hard. I really want to get some other people's perspective before I kind of form any opinions or lasting impressions, I guess.
Good deal, good deal. Well, hopefully you create some lasting impressions and memories tonight out on the town, and we'll probably bring you back again, I guess, one more time on Tuesday. Unless,
sure,
yeah. Are you going to be there Wednesday, or are you flying back on Wednesday?
I might fly back Wednesday, I might fly back Thursday.
Okay, so we might have you on probably at least one more time before the close.
Yeah.
So people have that to look forward to. Any parting words for the sports card faithful out there?
Don't read Twitter. Just buy cards.
Don't read Twitter. Yeah, it is a huge time suck. I would not read Twitter normally. When there's an event going on, it is kind of fun.
Yeah, just, you know, realize that what happens here is just a blip on the radar, and when in a week or two everybody's just going to be back, you know, releasing products and, you know, this and that. But it is important while you're here to get your voice out there and make some issues known, because trust me, you know, if you're not, if you don't do it at the summit or if you don't do it at the national, you're just kind of a fly, you know, on the wall. You're not going to get anywhere. So the time to blow up these companies, the time to blow this thing up, is during an event like this. So, because you're at least going to get some information out there.
There you go.
Like I said, I'm going to retire from Twitter. Like, I'm going to retire from Twitter until the national, and just go to baseball games and monitor the sets that come out, and that's it. Buy some cards myself.
Well, that's it. That sounds like a plan. On that note, we'll wrap it up. That sounds baseball cards and new sets coming out. That sounds good to me. Well, enjoy the rest of the day or night in Vegas, and we'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All